time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yep. Back again. You already know the spiel. We here. You know what I'm saying? How you been, man? What's going on with you?
I've been good, man. You know, steady on this fast. You know, I think we probably, you know, 2/3 of the way through, maybe. You know, maybe a little bit over half. Something like that. I can't even remember.
Okay.
But
how many days is Ramadan? 40 or?
No, somewhere around 30, the cycle of the moon, you know.
Okay.
I haven't really checked the dates. So, you know, it's kind of like, when you check the date, when you know the exact date, then you be counting it down like,
right,
you know,
right,
man.
Right.
So, yeah. Just been trying to thug it out. Been kind of raggedy this year. Not with all the moving around, it's been like some tough situations, like living at a hotel. So I haven't had. Today probably was the first day I had a hot breakfast. You know,
the whole Ramadan.
Yeah, like a whole cooked breakfast because I'm in these hotels with no kitchens, you know what I'm saying? So that makes it tough, you know what I mean? So I've been good with the vitamins and good with the drinking vegetables and making sure I got, you know, enough nutrients to, you know, hold me down. But it hasn't been the easiest because, you know, it hasn't been very stable and it hasn't been, you know, the facilities haven't been right. So it's been kind of tough.
So today you had a nice hot breakfast.
Yeah.
Do you feel the effect is different in your day from last?
Because, okay, you know, it's the nutrients. I keep my nutrients and I keep myself hydrated. So I'm not really feeling the difference there. It's just, you just know that, damn, I ain't had no, you know what I'm saying, no real cooked breakfast in a minute. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know,
every time I hear,
go ahead.
I'm just saying,
thugging through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could dig it. Getting through it. Ramadan, this moon got to spin a little faster. Every time I hear somebody say nutrients that many times, it reminds me of OC. Time's up. You know what I mean? Remember that? You lack the minerals and vitamins, ions and niacin. Does it even say nutrients? Yeah, that should just come to mind. But that's cool though, man. I said, you know, salute. I just had a friend of mine that was fasting for Lent, you know, and that was 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been around a lot of, I guess, you know, fasting energy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it just puts into perspective self-discipline and willpower, you know?
Yeah.
Which is good. It gives you some clarity at the end of it all.
Yeah, clarity, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, mostly keep you in touch with yourself. See where you at with everything, you know what I'm saying? See where you at with not even just your willpower, but just who you are, you know, as a human and how you moving, you know, that for hunger, test you, you know what I'm saying? It'll test your will, you know what I mean? So, and it's not just, you know, the food part of it. It's like how you moving throughout the day. And it's like, you know, damn, I'm hungry. Do I quit or do I keep going? Do I, you know what I'm saying? Do I push through or do I go take me a nap? You know what I'm saying? And all those things is testing your wills. You know what I'm saying? When you at the end of the day and your nerves is a little short and you know what I'm saying, your responses is a little terse, you know, how do you control yourself when, you know, the world is getting on your nerves and you don't even know it? You know, because it's like regular stuff be going on, but it be hitting you differently because, you know, you might need a Snickers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Get hangry, as they say.
Right. You don't even know it. You know what I mean? You're just reacting.
Right.
So, but when you're able to, you know what I'm saying, take, you know, take consideration of what's really going on and come back in a way that, you know, that's smooth as opposed to just reacting based off of your instinct, then you feel like you're getting more control over everything else. So, and while my Ramadan been kind of, you know, spotty as far as like, you know, just my setups and all that, that part, I've been getting good.
That's good. That's good to hear. It's always refreshing to know you got more of a handle than you think you do, you know?
Some days.
Yeah, but shit, you getting through it, you know what I mean?
You're getting through it.
You know. You only need to get to sundown, and then you can start all over again. You know what I'm saying? You're like, woo, shit. All
right.
That shit couldn't, the dust couldn't come fast enough. Oh, shit. Well, that's what's up, man.
Yeah, what's good with you?
I've been good, man. I've been good. Just it was a busy weekend, bunch of shows, and, you know, went over to my people's crib for Easter, kicked it with them. I hadn't seen them in a minute. It's funny. Some of my sister, my brother-in-law, it's funny because they pulled up to one of my shows unexpectedly.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, which, you know, I'm less and less, what's the word, bothered by that type of shit. You know, for a long time, I used to feel away. And still do, somewhat, you know what I mean? But what was interesting... you know, like, you know, because if it go left, you know what I mean? There ain't no real witnesses. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If it go left, it ain't niggas that know you. You know what I'm saying? That could recall it, bring it up. But, you know, that's such is life. That's what happens. But also, funny enough, I've been doing a couple jokes, particularly about my family, mm-hmm. you know? And it was good that they were there, so I don't feel like I'm snitching or talking behind nobody back. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, I was like, fuck it, man. They in the building. All right, well, fuck it. I guess I'm gonna go with this bit. I'm gonna speak on it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna see what's what. And I looked over and they was laughing at it. So that was good. You know what I mean? You know. It wasn't no follow-up conversations, you know what I'm saying? So it was, you know what I mean? It wasn't none of those, hey, listen, I want to speak to you about, you know. But so it was just cool, and it's just, it is what it is, you know, just be in the space. And, you know, just committed to the process, you right. know, for whatever right. it is, however it moves, just do whatever you could affect, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's that. It's funny, I was out there, and I got a bunch of, like, shit at their crib, like, you know, old DVD, bunch of shit. But I went through, like, a bunch of old DVDs that I had, and I found this Dion Cole DVD that's got to be at least 15 years old from when he was at the Laugh House out in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, chubby Dion Cole, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, I was, you know, Dion is a killer on stage. He's always been funny, But, like, you know, back in the day, and I think on a later podcast, I want to kind of talk about bootleg culture, you know, just like how, you know, how much that shit meant to my life. I can't even speak for the culture, but how much bootlegs impacted me in many different manifestations. But anyway, back in the day before, you know, DVDs kind of phased out, that was definitely one of those ways that a lot of comedians made money, you know, outside of merch, like t-shirts and shit. It was always like, yo, I'm selling DVDs, $10, and either be a DVD, you know, some bootlegs of some shit that was, like, legitimately sanctioned. If they did, you know, they did an HBO special or whatever, they might just burn a few copies of them shits just to sell after the show. Or, off the ties, if they do something on the road, they would tape it and, you know, sell that performance. So this was him at the Laugh House, R.I.P. the Laugh House. Laugh House was a black-owned comedy club in Philly. And I was supposed to headline it the week that they closed down. I was sick because it was just, you know, it was just, it was known. It was like an institution, and it was like one of the first, one of my first, very first like headlining situations. So I was real excited about it. You know, I got a lot of people in Philly, so it'd have been dope, but they went out of business. But anyway, it was just ill just to see him, you know, on the road with his road hour, you know. Like, it's different. The special is always different than road hour. And just to see the evolution. He was funny way back then, but just to see the evolution. And it was inspiring because, you know, it, you know, along the journey, in the midst of the process, sometimes, you know, you gotta realize you're doing everything you can. I mean, at least on stage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Off stage, it could be more done. But, like, on stage, you know, you presenting. You know what I'm saying? And you bringing it to the people. You know what I'm saying? And it was just good to see because, you know, his success now is dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's popping. He's one of them. So, yeah. But it was just cool just to see that. And I got a bunch of old, like, comedy DVDs at the spot that I haven't seen in a long time. Mm. So I might start revisiting some of them things. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's funny, mm-hmm. It was like you was talking about the joke about your family or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You said they was laughing at it. They was good.
They was laughing at it. Yeah. It was funny too, because I was like, I was trying to figure out how to set it up, and I was just like, fuck it. And I just went right into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. And and it was one of the moments, you know what I'm saying? Just from the setup, you can see I looked over, you can see the leaning, like, oh, where? You know what I mean? But then they got the laugh. It was like, all right.
Hey, you know. That's what we doing tonight.
Yes, yeah, okay. Because my shit is like, look, y'all showed up here. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Look, this is where I'm at. This is what I do. Y'all gonna see what I do. It is what it is. Yeah, exactly. So... But, yeah, it was cool.
It'd be funny because on Facebook, you know, you know, I got an uncle that be, you know, he be cracking a lot of jokes and saying a lot of, you know, he that one on the Facebook. And, you know, right. And I be chiming in on his comments sometimes, you know what I'm saying, reminding him, you know what I'm saying, from whence we came, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I don't do it all the time in public. Sometimes I send it to him in a message. But he did a post the other day, and it was like, you know, don't trust a parent who gets mad at their kids for asking for food or being hungry or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Which sounds good, you know what I'm saying, in this era. But I was like, man, I had to go in the message with it. I was like, man. Anytime we mention food outside of breakfast, peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch, and dinner, nigga, we was getting cussed out. You know what I'm saying? Top to bottom. Like, boy, you better go outside.
Right. You better run that off.
Right. Yeah. Like, so I was like, man, I know you ain't forget them days.
Right.
So, maybe I like to, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a little younger than them. But I'm older than a lot of the other grandkids. So I like to, you know what I'm saying, bring up that revisionist history and make fun of it sometimes. Because I was there. I was like, I could distinctly remember getting fussed out about asking about food, asking about water. If you were outside, they told you to go outside and you asked about water, your ass was getting fussed out, liable to get a whooping. You know what I'm saying? You better hit that water hose. So, you know, it was a whole different lifestyle back then. Right. And I know where he coming from now. I just be like, I like to fuck with him and shit.
Yeah. That shit resonate. That pain hit him. He was like, hold on now. You know? I got to put this in the world somehow, some way. At least a blind item. You know what I'm saying? You was like, hold on.
Nah, hold on. Yeah.
Shit.
I wish I could remember some of the others, but I always like to bring up that shit. Because, you know, just because it's family shit, it's Facebook, whatever.
Right, and then
a lot of the trip shit is a lot of the people that he follow, they probably don't know me. You know what I'm saying? And they, yeah, so I like to throw that in there and be like, who is this nigga?
Right. How he sounds so familiar in the comments. Yeah. Right.
Because they do it to me. You know what I'm saying? They'll pop in my comments with some shit. Be like, ah, look at you.
Yeah. Facebook, it's less than 7 degrees of separation on the book.
No doubt.
The book is the family reunion. You know what I mean? That's no. I've known you since you was 7.
Yeah.
Earlier than that.
I know your birth name, nigga.
Right. I know you ain't out here trying to be brand new. You know, right. That's always the thing. Oh, shit. Wow. Oh, man. Rest in peace, K Slay. DJ K Slay passed away.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
55.
Yeah, 55. And they talking about COVID.
Yeah, COVID is still, you know, still lethal. He was, you know, sitting up, I think, with 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the longer you go, you know, the worse it get, you know.
Right.
But yeah, man, you know, it's it made me think back on just his legacy, you know, just like what he meant to, you know, New York City, the hip hop. You know, culture, mixtape culture, graffiti culture. Like, he, you know,
mm-hmm.
he was a very, like, he was like a unique, he had a unique sensibility. You know, these, you know, sometimes as big as mixtapes were, you know, sometimes you know, in the grand scheme of things, they were still niche, right? Mm-hmm. And like mixtape DJs, you know, they were like planets. You know, they orbited around each other. You know, hopefully they ain't collide. You know, but everybody kind of had their own sensibility about them. Mm-hmm. And I think K Slay's was definitely like, he was there for the underserved in hip hop in the way of, his shit was real anti-gatekeeper,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, you know, he's gonna, if you, you know, it was, and I think a lot of mixtape DJs, but I think his charm was, he was somewhat accessible if you was willing to go down to Hot 97 and stand in front of the building and, you know, pass him off your tape, you know what I'm saying? He, you know, he spoke to those behind the wall, that was his whole shit, you know. You know, C-74, lock in. Elmira, you hit the gates. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The drama king is in the building. You know, like it was his whole thing. It was real gruff. You know, like he had that a blue collar vibe about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In a way where it was like, it felt like, you know, oh, they fronting? I got you. Don't worry. I'm going to bring you in. I got you. And, like, you know, he had his own ecosystem. You know what I'm saying? He had his own industry about him, you know, like, that was different from others, whether it was Clue, whether it was Drama or Envy or Who Kid and all of that. Everybody got their kind of distinct lanes, you know, and you know, it's just interesting, just like how big them K Slay tapes were, the Dipset tapes,
mm-hmm.
how big those were, the fact that he had his own, you know, he created Straight Stuntin' Magazine, which was like, you know, kind of like a, like a, kind of like a more street level King magazine, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like he, it was just, it was his own thing. And then even before that, him being a, you know, like a king in the graffiti world,
right.
you know, like, and, you know, like, I just think about just the brand building in graffiti. And this is, we'll talk about this later on too, like the fact that, like, I think that, like, the intersection, obviously, graffiti is one of the elements of hip hop and like how much it used to really be, you know, showcased in pretty much all platforms of hip hop up until, like, you know, maybe the last 20 years. But before that, you know, damn near every hip hop magazine at least put a couple pages for the graffiti shit. You know what I mean? It was, you know, graffiti DVDs, graffiti dedicated magazines or whatever. But like, mixtape DJs, graffiti artists, shit, even comedian. Like, I look at how you build a name for yourself. Like, graffiti was one of those first things where, like I seen branding and marketing work, like, just on a very grassroots level. Like, you might not know what the person's face looked like, but you knew their name, and you became a fan of their name by how often they got up and how often they got busy. Even that term, getting up, you know, that, like, that transfers over into stand up. You know, if you're doing spots, you're just getting up. How often you getting up? You getting up, you got to stay getting up, you know, because you got to build your name, build your audience, build your following, you know. And, you know, he was a king from there. So many people know K-Slay as Dez. You know what I'm saying? As the graffiti, as Dez. That was his rap. That was like his graffiti, his tag name. D-E-Z, you know what I'm saying? And like, he was in Style Wars, which is like a real iconic graffiti documentary. That's, you know, like, he was known, just like how Fat Joe was crack, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, back in the days, like, this, it's almost like the origin story. Like, you know, you went, it's like a career pivot, you know. And people, like, kind of like how you said a little a minute ago, like, nigga, I know your birth name. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I know your graffiti name. I know when you used to get up at such and such. You know what I mean? Like, I know when you used to bomb the trains. Right. You know, that type of shit. And then to be, you know, to be effective and that, and make a name in one element and then come over here in a whole nother realm and build a name there and, you know, have so many people benefit from the light that you created and, you know, shined on people. That was really, that was really dope. You know, he was it's sad. I didn't realize how young he was, because he always kind of felt like, I guess it was like his gruff demeanor. You know what I'm saying? And very, like I said, very like blue collar. Like, he would get, he was one of them, you know, like, he would get on his uptown shit with the, you know, the crazy leathers and all of that shit and the big, you know, the big hats or whatever. But it wasn't like, he wasn't like a nigga that you, you know, not to say he wouldn't, but it wasn't like he was champagne and chains, you know what I'm saying? Like, or super flashy, flashy, you know, like, you knew he was somebody, but it was a different aesthetic. So, right. You know, 55 is older, but it just, you know, for whatever reason, you know, damn, it's still very young to be, you know, to be gone.
Right.
Yeah, you know, rest in peace. You know, that was,
Yeah, it's like, with his passing, you know what I'm saying, I realized that, you know, my cross-section with him came after I moved to New York. So he was already, like, the drama king. I didn't know him for anything other than that, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't know his origin story. I didn't know his backstory, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when all the stuff coming out, you know, when you're seeing pictures of him DJing from all the way back with the Lee Jeans and Kango, like, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's generation 1.5 for real, you know? Like, so he, from the start, you know what I mean?
Right.
With the graffiti, with the DJing, just being in the culture for real. And so, you know, it makes, you know, somebody who kind of is like an anthropologist about this shit, you kind of feel, I feel some type of way that I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying? You can't know everything, but I was just like, damn, I didn't even know, you know? It's like, but then you start thinking, it's like all the DJs that I cross-sectioned with after moving to New York, I never dug into the backstory. I don't know where Flex came from, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how he got in and how he got going, you know? Clue and all those guys is a little more clearer because they were kind of hitting nationwide, kind of, and where I was at, I was already familiar with their names and their work. You know, K-Slay, I wasn't familiar with his work till I got to New York. But, you know what I'm saying, like you said, it was definitely, he had the impact, like, especially, you know what I mean, where I was able to see it from when they ran that Dipset shit up. You know what I'm saying? They ran it up. You know what I'm saying? It was like, that was his texture. You know what I mean? Even though they were doing their own shit, it was still along those same lines. The whole texture of that movement was, you know, the whole Drama King and like you said, that underserved niche texture of hip hop. It's like Cam did a pivot when they did that. You know, Cam was in the system. He was, you know, part of the machine. But then pivoted to do Dipset, reinvented the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? He still had his flair, but it went a whole lot more gritty. You know what I'm saying? Adding the rest of that group. So,
right.
And that was right along the lines of the shit that K Slay was doing every night.
Yeah, exactly. They came up together. You know, not came up together, but they built a movement together. Yeah, and like, if anybody wants to know more about the graffiti side of K Slay, there's a whole inside. I don't know if it was his page. I mean, it's like the captures are from the first person, but it's interesting. You like this K Slay, but anyway, but it's Dez TFA, DEZ TFA. Going there, he got a bunch of his work, you know, just to kind of see how accomplished he was on that side of things, you know. So,
what part of the city from?
Who, K Slay?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's from Harlem. Okay. He's from Harlem. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's from Harlem. Yeah. Rest in peace, Gilbert Godfrey, as well. You know. I meant to speak to that last week. Yeah, he passed away last week. They said he had been sick for years. And it's interesting that they said that, because I do remember seeing him once out. And, I said hello to him, but he was like real kind of like retiring. You know what I mean? Like sometimes performers could be so big on stage, you know what I mean? Have a whole, you know, like boisterous persona on stage. And then when you see them off stage, they just, it's like they turned it all the way off. Like they powered down. You know what I mean? And it was not even just a powered down, but it was just like a, like meek, maybe kind of shy, kind of like I don't really like a whole lot of attention type of shit. Like, you know, and, you know, Gilbert Godfrey is a beast. Like they said, one of the things they said, I think in his, like when they wrote about him, was like, he's one of the most iconic voices in comedy. Wow. You know, you think about it, just the way he talked and the way he just presented, like, it is very singular. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know it when you hear it, you know, the whole high-pitched, nasally, you know what I'm saying, rant type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he voiced, I think, with the parrot and the lad. Like, you know, he's done a lot of shit. But it's funny, similar how you were saying about K Slay, like to where you came to him. Like I came to Gilbert Godfrey, like he was grown and well into that persona. But then I remember seeing some old Gilbert Godfrey shit, and it was a whole totally different dude. Like he was lightweight cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a cool motherfucker. Like, you know what I mean? Not to say that he wasn't, you know, he was a character at a certain point. He turned into a bit of a character, or had a persona that was well honed. But back then, like, he looked cool in a motherfucker. I seen an old headshot. That's the funny shit sometimes. You see some of these old headshots of comedians that's been in the game 30, 40, 50 years. You like, oh shit! Like he looked like a Puerto Rican b-boy. You know what I'm saying? I think he had a wife beater on and some shit. Oh, you can't say that type. He had a tank top on. You know what I mean? He was like, you know, fit and shit. Like he looked cool. He might, you know, damn, they had everything but some boomers on. I said, yo, who this? That's Gilbert Godfrey. What? But one thing I didn't realize a lot about him was, again, like I kind of caught him in the persona side of things. I didn't even realize, you know, how he was on stage as a stand-up. But one thing that stands out, and it's funny because I was literally talking about him 2 days before he passed. I was telling somebody, I always like to reference, there's this documentary called The Aristocrats. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, you know, allegedly like the most filthy joke in comedy or whatever, right? But they were talking to Gilbert Gottfried, and he was like, you know, I'm a comedian, so I always process shit through jokes. I'm always going to speak to the elephant in the room. So there was like some type of benefit that was literally maybe days after 9/11 had happened. And nobody had really, you know, done much 9/11 material. Like, it was fresh. You know what I'm saying? Smoke might have still been in the air.
Right.
And he had this joke. He was like, yeah. So, yeah, I'm supposed to get a flight out of here. You know, after I do this, I got to get a flight out of here. Only thing is, there's no direct flight. So they got me making a stop at the Empire State Building. And I was like, oh, shit. And it was just like, that shit had the crowd going crazy. Just because it was just a wild, like, it was, nobody had said nothing about it. It was like one of the first jokes about the shit. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? He said, yeah, we making a stop at the Empire State Building. And, you know, like, the room was, you know, turned over. Like, niggas was like, oh, shit. And it was just so funny that it was Gilbert Gottfried that came with that joke. You know? But, that's like one of my favorite moments of that documentary. And I was telling somebody about it. And then shit, days later, he passed away.
Damn.
It's crazy. Yeah, rest in peace to that man. No, you know.
Life, man.
Yeah.
Cycle.
Enjoy the present.
Yep.
Enjoy this shit. Enjoy it for as long as you got it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. How you enjoying life?
Oh, man, I'm actually enjoying life a lot. My middle son is about to graduate and go to college. So
your middle son?
Yeah. Got two older sons and then a baby girl.
Yeah, well, that's your middle child.
Well, I have an older son. And he's,
yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sure because I'm thinking the middle son would be like three boys.
You know, again, it's.
I got you. That's why.
Just a quick way to reference which one I'm talking about.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? So when you're a parent, you won't be taking into consideration all that shit. You just be like, come on, right. Be calling them all out their name.
The one in the,
hey, you goddamn, that mirror, what, boy?
Do you do that? Do you do that? You, call your kids by the wrong name and shit?
Yeah, but not like, you know what I'm saying? It'd be in a.
Like a grandmother?
Yeah, but it'd be in a, when you in a, trying to get it out real quick. You
went, right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Yeah, you know. Yeah, I do that. Every parent do that. They got multiple kids.
Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to always do that shit.
You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. They know who to come. Yeah, exactly. But go ahead.
So my middlest child is graduating and going off to college. So we went to see one of the schools that he's interested in, University of Chicago. So he got accepted there. So they had a accepted students, you know, open house. So we went and I didn't know what to expect because I never really knew much about this school, you know what I'm saying, until he started talking about it, you know what I'm saying. Then, you know, I started looking it up a little bit because I was like, what? You want to go where? Who? And then, you know, you look it up. Okay, cool. People have stuff to say about it, you know. So we went and we did the tour. The first thing was the tour. So, you know, they had a tour guide, just one of the students. And she was super excited. This girl named Miller. She was a great guy. She sold the school very well because of her enthusiasm and excitement, you know, about just some of the minutia, you know what I'm saying? But it made it more interesting to me. So she was going through it, you know, we walking around. And we about to start the tour and shit. And I'm walking, you know, I'm looking at, you know, all the buildings. Because, you know, these schools be old and they, you know, have all these different kinds of buildings. But what was interesting was at this particular school, I mean, they pretty much had all of the major style of architecture on this campus. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm a fan of architecture. So they had like all the styles, neoclassical, they had modern, they had, you know what I'm saying? They had mid-century modern, all these different buildings all in one place. They had a brutalist, which, you know what I'm saying? It's not my favorite style, but it was the first style that I was introduced to. Brutalist architecture.
Say that again. Which one? Which one was it?
Brutalist. Like brutalist. Oh. Brutalist. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've seen these buildings. They like they got some in Harlem. They look like a big ass penitentiary. Sometimes be like all concrete and then the gray. Windows be kind of slim and shit. And they be gray.
Yeah.
That's like brutalist architecture. Some of it looks good. Some of it is like, what the hell were they thinking? But
right. Who wanna live there? Right.
But it was the first architecture that I was introduced to as a kid. So I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. My uncle was going to school at Miami-Dade Community College. And, you know, sometimes he would take me up there to the school with him. And Miami-Dade Community College is built in brutalist style. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's classically brutalist. And, you know, because that was my first time outside of the house, really, like outside of the, you know, outside of a, like either my grandma's house or my house, going in the world, you know, it kind of stuck. Like, oh, wow, this is different. You know, this is a different kind of place than where I'm from. And so it always, that particular style always stuck with me. I didn't know the name till a few years ago, but it stuck with me. So they had all those kind of buildings. Like, they main library is in Brutalist. They got another library that's strictly modern. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm walking, and I see this mid-century modern house. I'm like, wow. And I was like, hold up. Is that a Frank Lloyd Wright? You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen his work, but I've never seen one in person. Mm-hmm. So, I hit the Google. Googled it up. Oh, shit. That's a fucking Frank Lloyd Wright. Right here in the bricks. You know what I'm saying? So so I was like, man, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of inspired. I'm learning as we going. But then I doubled back and went on a tour of the house, you know, because, you know, you were able to tour it. So
this is on campus?
Yeah, this is on campus. And
okay.
And, you know, the thing about it is I know the style, but I don't know all of the history of it like that, of his work. So on the tour, you know, the tour guy breaking it down, and I'm into the shit. Like, I'm sure I was probably the last person he think would be into the shit, but I was in the front row, like, shit, what are we talking about? And so as we going along, you know how, like, when somebody got an audience, you know, half the people kind of checking out and, you know, taking pictures with their phone, I'm still listening. So, you know, once you got an audience, then they start talking directly to you. And so he breaking all shit down. But the shit that was a trip was, now all these buildings, all these old looking buildings, all these different styles, This Frank Lloyd Wright house was one of the oldest buildings on campus, which means like that shit was built like 1910 or 1907 or some shit like that, which meant that cat was way ahead of his time. You know what I'm saying? Open floor plans, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just filling the house with light, you know what I'm saying? All the, you know, glass doors all the way around the building, so it's just filled with light, you know what I'm saying? The way that he did the roof lines and all that shit with, you know, that low slung hipped roof line, that shit is modern right now. You know what I'm saying? That shit look like if somebody built that right now, it'd look new. You know what I mean? So yeah, for it to be that old, my man was like way ahead of the curve, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn, this nigga, you know, so to be in there, you know, like, you know, the furniture and stuff, kind of like, it ain't what it is no more. But the style of the house and the way that shit laid out is that shit, all that. So I was hyped on that shit. So then I'm looking around, I'm in Chicago, and I've been to Chicago a few times. But now I'm looking around, I'm like, Chicago got a whole lot of, like, that whole south side got a, you know what I'm saying, in that area, because it's on the south side of Chicago. It's right in the middle of the Black Hood. But, you know what I'm saying, it's a premier institution. And so I'm looking around in the community now. I'm like, damn, now I'm seeing more like the museums and the, you know what I mean? They got a whole lot of architecture over there. So I'm like, damn, Chicago got this shit cracking, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it kind of remind me of like coming up, like in my summers, I would spend my summers in Cleveland. And in the neighborhood where we that was the hood, you know what I'm saying? But right across the street, you got Rockefeller Park, which was, you know what I'm saying, super dope, like a big ass park that was very manicured, got all the museums and the art museum and the science and all that shit. Koi ponds and shit. But you right in the middle of the hood, like it's like I kinda get my culture from just being in the ghetto of Cleveland, which is always interesting mm-hmm. to me, you know what I'm saying? How sometimes these things sit right in your community and you can have access to them if you want it, but do people really access it? You know what I'm saying? And I bet the ones that do, they probably gain a lot of insight or just a lot of inspiration just from being in proximity to certain shit. And
right.
It's like living in a city like New York, you can see how that plays itself out. It's like how, like, if you grew up in the projects in Chelsea, right? You right there in proximity to a whole lot of art shit, a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying? And it affects your style, it affects, you know what I'm saying, all the things, how you move. Like if you grew up in Harlem, you know what I'm saying, 9 times, like a lot of, it's a high percentage chance you like one stop from 59th Street and, you know what I'm saying, Fifth Ave and all the premier shopping in the world, you know?
Right.
So
right.
It's like that proximity puts, you know what I'm saying, puts you in position to be inspired or to see more of the world than where they got you at. And coming from somewhere like Miami, it was harder because that proximity is not there. You know what I'm saying? If you in the Northwest, you know what I'm saying, you go quite far away from some crazy, some fly shit. Except for you might go to, I guess Miami Lakes was I-5 shit, which was, you know, right down the street, but it wasn't the fly shit that's on Miami Beach, you know, which is damn near a whole lifetime away. If you ain't in no car, if you a kid, you ain't gonna never see that shit. So I was just, you know, had a good time up there in Chicago, just, you know, exploring all the goodies that I didn't know was there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that point, that you're talking about proximity. I guess sometimes too, since it's like if you grow up or you're around something that's like right there, you know, like they say, you don't see the forest for the trees. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like it's just right there. You just overlook it because it's your block, it's home, it's your neighborhood. You know, you might recognize it as something, but you probably may not be as curious as if you were an outsider. So, like, when you go into Chicago, you know, obviously you go in there with a different agenda anyway. You taking in a campus, you know what I'm saying? You looking at what the lifestyle is, what the setting is, and all of that. So everything is kind of under review.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have more of a keen eye. And obviously you're going to a city that, you know, you're not there often. You know, you're taking it in, you're paying attention, you're trying to see how it's different from where you're coming from, things of that nature. So, yeah, but that's kind of fly that. So on the campus, damn near every building is a different type of architect.
Yeah, it's different styles. Like you got this church look like it's 1,000 years old. That's, you know, the Rockefellers built.
Five.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, then you got a house that, you know what I'm saying, looks modern, but it's older than that building. You know,
it's
you know, for me it was like a whole lot of eye candy, just like, oh shit, look at that. Oh wow, damn, they got that too. You know?
Mm-hmm. So, would you say Frank Lloyd Wright is one of your favorite architects?
That I know by name, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like,
right.
I'm not as so deeply ingrained. I like the mid-century style. One, and it's a couple of architects that developed that style I was mostly introduced to the West Coast style of it more, like with the A-frames and the shit. Like if you go like the Ladera Heights, a lot of their houses built in the West Coast mid-century modern style. And then even Frank Lloyd Wright had made a move to the West and did some stuff out there. But I was more familiar with the West Coast style for a while. And then I discovered the modern prairie style, which I feel is like probably one of my favorite styles. And I didn't know it. I didn't know the name of it. I didn't know it was a style, because it was like, I remember like being a kid just drawing houses and shit. You used to draw cars, houses, and superheroes. Like, the way that I would draw my roof lines was more aligned with the modern prairie style. And so I guess that's why it resonates. Because what it does is, the way that the roof sit, it make the house look more horizontal. It look like, you know what I'm saying? It looks like slim. It's like sleek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you ever seen that Houston's on Peachtree in Atlanta?
Yeah, the old school one.
Yeah, you see how that roof, like how it sit low, and then you know, the windows sit like right up under it. It look like the roof is just floating above the windows. It's that style.
Okay. Yeah. I think so. I might be getting it confused with the old Justin's. Did Houston's take over the old Justin's?
Nah. It's down the street.
But it was right around there. Okay.
Yeah, it's right down the street. Okay, nah, Houston's still in the same building where it's at. The Justin's is a doctor's office now.
Does it have the same exterior or no?
No, they painted it. It's the same exterior. They painted it and took the awning off and all that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, you know, it's sterile. It's devoid of the life that it used to have. I ran across this other house that was like a modern prairie. I just was like, damn, I like that shit. That's like, it struck a nerve with me. And then that's when I looked up the style and tried to figure out what the style was and discovered that. And then saw that Frank Lloyd Wright was was kind of like the one that was pushing that style. That was, you know, probably like the inventor more the leader of that particular style. So, you know, needless to say, I had a good time just fucking around on campus.
That's dope. Are they known for their architecture? Do they have an architecture program at that school?
Nah, okay. I don't think so. They more known for the economist and they got like the physicist and shit like that. They got molecular engineering and then they, you know, they're known for being a liberal arts college that's surrounded by a research college. You know what I'm saying? Which is kind of odd. So they got both. But like a lot of the world's leading economists and people who do that finance shit come out of there.
Okay. Got it. That's fire though that they got those various different style buildings on the campus. That's kinda cool. Gives a lot of character. That's what's up.
Yeah, so that was cool.
That's what's up. You go anywhere else while y'all was out there? You do any?
We just mostly spent time on campus. I linked up with Barclay. Shout out to Barclay. You know what I'm saying? You know, one of the Chicago pieces. I linked up with with Debo. Enrico from Vi. I linked up with Debo.
Hilarious. They call him Debo. Hilarious.
You don't remember how he used to be in the meetings?
I remember he used to Debo in the meetings.
We'd be in the sales meeting.
Oh shit.
And you know, he was in the Midwest office in Chicago, so you know, they was always on the phone, like remote. And you know, you be trying to get your numbers in, and you know, people be kind of talking over you or, you know, or misconstruing your numbers, and he would always, you know, and break that shit down. Woo. I hit him on the side like, boy, you D-boying in the meeting.
That's funny. Yeah,
you know, he already like a big swole ex-football player anyway.
Right.
So wow. So now he
shout
cool.
out to Enrico.
We kicked it for a minute. And kicked it with Barclay up, you know, down in Hyde Park. You know what I mean? And, okay. Yeah, man. I just you know, I already like Chicago. It's like I already think that they, you know, they don't get enough props sometimes. You know, they get a name for a lot of the negative shit, but they got a lot going on in that city that I fuck with. So I was happy to be there. And, you know, it just made me a little more excited about, you know, my kid being there.
So how'd your son, is he feeling it? How'd he feel about it?
No, this is top choice. That's what he wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? So.
Got it. So he was locked in. He felt good when he was in the building.
Okay. He didn't even want to go see no schools he didn't get accepted to.
Right. I hear that shit. Fuck it. Why?
That's a waste of time. Like, right. Just go see the damn place. See what your options are.
How you feel about the school? You excited about it?
I am now that I've been there. You know what I'm saying? How they, you know, they laid out their program. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I'm worried about, you know, him being in a very majority white program.
Right.
On campus, you know what I'm saying? So you worry about that. Right. But, you know, he's been handling it thus far. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I keep a stern eye on it, but he got to live it, you know? Like we all make our decisions and our choices. I made my choice. How I wanted to move and, you know, where I wanted to go and how I wanted to do it. And then you live with it, you know. I said I wanted to make my money in music and entertainment and blase skip. And that's what I did, you know. So it ain't been, you know, always a smooth path. It ain't been, a path that most people would choose. But it's been smooth for me and... You know, I ain't mad where I'm at. So everybody got that decision to make. And the more you closely aligned to what you really want, you know, the better it'll feel. You know what I mean? The more you appreciate the things that you do get and how you move and how you get them. So
100%. I agree with that shit. That's
dope. I'm with it.
That's what's up. Yeah, shout out your favorite architect in the comments. Let us know if y'all fucking with anybody. Nah, you never know. Let the people put us on.
The crazy,
you know what I'm saying?
The crazy part, like, I was riding through the A, and I was seeing all, I might have said this on the pod before, but, I would see all these modern homes, like, just pop up, like, these super modern, like, the modern. I was like, man, where are these houses coming from? Like, who building these joints? You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, these white people just putting up modern anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Putting them all in the hood. It's like, man, who doing this? And it turns out it's a black dude who went to FAMU from Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Jordash, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah. Jordash. Yeah. And so, I talked about it. Yeah. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'll be, you know, be beside myself sometimes.
Nah, so good. Shout out to Jordash. Say his whole Jordash. What? What's his name? Jordash. What?
That's what I'm trying to figure out now. You know the crazy part about me, Jordash Avery is his name.
Okay.
Jordash Avery, young cat too.
Uh huh. That's dope.
Yeah. The crazy part is like it's like even with music, right? Sometimes like I guess with art, you could recognize the art and you don't even know the name. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes. So, like, as when I was, like, making beats and shit, and you doing all this sampling, and, you know, in the beginning, you just sampling. You just taking what sound good. Like, dang, you don't even know where it came from sometimes. You'll see the label, but me, I wasn't necessarily studying the label more than I was the sound. And so a lot of times you'll have a favorite kind of sound and then don't discover who the artist was until later. You're like, oh, wow, nigga, you my favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, because you just be moving along, you don't know. It's just like
that consistent.
So that's what it is. Get off my little soapbox.
That's what we're here for. It's the conversation. ain't gotta cover the mic. We nah, here. That's what motherfuckers still stand for.
Like in the middle of this fast, you don't know when you're going too far. Your gauge is different. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
nah, man. Look, you good, dog. Don't even worry about it. I be honestly thinking the same thing sometimes. I'll be like, damn, so that was a ramble. It was really off on one. Because I be trying to be in the moment. Like, you know, at sometimes back in the day, I would kind of have not prepared what I'm going to talk about. But, you know, I'll have the topics. But sometimes I might even have the take, you know what I'm saying? Not written, but like fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, let me just trust where I'm going to be at in the moment. And sometimes it just, you know, this is a podcast. This is a place for long talkers. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, I mean, this is not Twitter. You ain't got just a limited amount of characters. This is what they, you know, look, if they don't know by now, we go long sometimes. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Big lungs, long-winded. Speaking of, not really speaking of, I'm just trying to make a transition out of no transition. But I'm fucking excited, man. I see your man Kendrick said he dropping on May 13th.
Yeah.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, I think the name of the album is. I can't wait. I can't wait, bro. I'm excited like a motherfucker. It's been 5 years. I just listened to Damn the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't get all the way through it, but like I'm trying to revisit that. My favorite Kendrick album is probably still To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Good Kid, Mad City, like very close behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'd listened to, it was a podcast called The Big Hit Show. Alex Papademos made it. And this most recent season was all about To Pimp a Butterfly. So they, you know, they interview everybody from like Terrace Martin, who was like the musical director for the whole thing, Flying Lotus, Thundercat. You know, they got excerpts from Kendrick interviews, but you know, like just, you know, just how the soundscapes was made, what the intention was, what the direction was, all of that, like what it all came to be. And you know, just show just how deliberate that cat is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always like, he's very thematic. You know, you coming out with an album called Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. You know what I'm saying? It's just, who's to know where this shit gonna be? But it's been 5 years and I'm very excited. That's my guy. Yes. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with Kung Fu Kenny.
That so, shit sound like
that's gonna be cool.
That shit sound like Ned Stark and the Lannisters.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Gladys Knight and the Pips. You know who knows? There's a lot
Ned
of
Stark
shit going
was Mr.
on.
Morale. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, okay,
was the
okay.
Big Steppers.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's
so
just,
I'm excited
you know,
to see it. No, that's your interpretation. But yeah. That's the beauty of it, the shit that he put out. You know, like it's, but you know, I'm excited about that shit. Pusha T come out Friday.
Uh-huh.
That should be good.
Yeah, he's been getting
Future,
busy.
Yeah, he been getting busy. Future come out the next week. You know, it's funny, man. I'm not the biggest Future fan. I respect it. I got to it late. You know what I mean? Like, I seen it happening, but I was one of those that I didn't grasp or I didn't truly, I couldn't understand the appeal initially. I was definitely behind on that one. And, I've for real, to the point where I had people that were like Future fans. I'd be like, yo, so explain the appeal. Like, I'm at that point now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that old now where I'll have some of my younger friends or people that are like really into a certain art. I'd be like, so explain the appeal. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it about? You know, and not to be condescending, not to be like, why do you like that shit? Not like that, but I'd be like, yo, so explain, like, what is it about this person that makes this person, you know, unique or different or whatever? Why, you know what I mean? Like, and And then I just read the there's an article in the new GQ. Elliot Wilson wrote about Future. He's on the cover of GQ as the best rapper alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is an Elliot Wilson article, so you know he fuck with Hov heavy.
Right.
So that was interesting that he had that take, but you know, he kind of, you know, talked about it, and it kind of just made me want to hear more, because there's records that I fuck with that Future has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you, March Madness, it was cool, but I didn't understand the fanfare for it. Like, people were going crazy for that record, and I was like, all right, that's one of the moments where I really felt left out. It's a I've grown to respect it now, but yeah, I was definitely like, you ever be at like a concert and you're not really familiar with the artist, and then they do their hit and the whole crowd go crazy, and you just in the midst of that shit, and yeah, you just kind of looking to your left and right, like, oh, okay, so I guess this is the one.
Yeah, but that be the beauty of the shit, especially like when you move around.
Yeah.
Well, like pre-internet, when you move around and you actually see the shit mm-hmm. happen, it's like when P first came out, you know, I was like, man, what is going on? And then you get to a certain city, like in Kentucky and places like that. Like he was like they nigga,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like they mm-hmm. swole by P. I'm like, okay. But then once you see the fans get into it, you understand what's going on. It's like with Future, he got great A&R. You know what I'm saying? He got a great ear. You know what I'm saying? He gonna have great beats. And what, you know, I don't know about his lyrics, you know what I'm saying? I ain't that deep into it to know, you know, the type of shit he be saying all the way. But
mm-hmm.
I know the nigga had created a vibe out of no vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, he cut through the noise and created his own little vibe. And yeah, and I didn't really understand it until, this was early on, but I went to Vegas. And
okay,
that nigga shit was bumping everywhere. Like, he was the biggest artist in Vegas. And that's not no easy feat. That's a cut through the noise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, every hotel, casino, lobby you enter, they bumping that Future. And the shit just sounds so right. You know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm,
his
mm-hmm.
shit sounded so right for big, giant party, outdoor pool situation, you know what I'm saying? Sounded fly, it sounded rich, it just was, you know what I'm saying? It gets you in the right frame of mind for being around some, you know what I'm saying, get money, you know what I'm saying? It's a step under opulent, like Rick Ross be on, but this shit is just like walking into speaking of like a designer, it's like walking into an Ian Schrager hotel in the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? Except for hip hop. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, this man done created a whole vibe.
Yeah. 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 And he know it. And he got a lineage of cats that have, you know, stepped in them footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, man, I'm excited to, I want to hear what that's going to be. I mean, you know, so that's going to be interesting, but I'm definitely excited for this Kendrick, you know, check out this Pusha, you know what I'm saying? Now that's going to have some shit on there. And then, yeah, I'm going to fuck with this Future. That's it, you know, music is going, I mean, shit, I think this summer's going to have a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back on music,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, for a while I was heavy podcast.
Oh, no. Yeah, niggas got to go on tour. Niggas got to run that bag up. You know what I'm saying? That tour bag been missing for a couple years.
Yeah, they got to put the shit out.
Hey, time to get back to it. You know, niggas can get stopped tapping into their savings and shit. But like, but Future been working the whole pandemic. Future type of artist that could work them or open cities, you know? Clubs, uh-huh, and clubs that ain't give a fuck about no damn quarantine. So, right, you know, those artists in that lane, they stayed getting money. Lil Baby, he ran it all the way up in the pandemic.
Nah, he slow down. So it's gonna be cool. Anyway, speaking about getting to the money, your man Franklin Saint This last episode of Snowfall, it's been a little while. I mean, it's been a week. So much shit has happened since then. I'm faintly remembering it, but what I will say. what I will say is this was one of the better episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and maybe because I've level set my expectations, but I don't think that just that. But I think that this one was kind of true to the tone of the show. You know what I mean? It wasn't going to get too outrageous. You know, it was definitely some conflict between the main characters, mm-hmm. you know. It was a moment where you seen, you know, Franklin. We talk about how Franklin could spaz on his white supervisor shit. You know what I mean? Just real frazzled boss man, you know. But then there's also the other side when he could get on his super Obama type restraint, where he gonna just pump a brake mm-hmm. and leave you motherfuckers to speculate on what's his next move. Real right. chess player, you know what I mean? He got his chess player, you know, restraint on in this one yeah. with Louis and with Teddy.
Right.
So
I mean, he ain't had no real choice. You know what I'm saying? He probably still contemplating what his next move gonna be. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, but he play it cool, though.
Yeah, okay. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Let me not overreact or react at all. You know what I'm saying? They got me all the way fucked up. But, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What am I going to say in this moment? I don't know, because this shit done caught me by surprise. I came over here to, you know what I'm saying, get the family back together. You niggas was just, you know what I'm saying? We was just kicking it. It was all good. This how y'all going to do me? But first, I need to go address my plug. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, he had a lot of heartbreak in that little business transaction right there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You my biggest client. Now you done went to the plug. Okay. Right. You know what I'm saying? I got something for right. all you motherfuckers. I'm out. I'm gonna let you right. fuckers have it. Y'all figure it mm-hmm. out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to know that up. Ain't the end.
Nah. We know that. There's too many things in the air for this shit to just, you know, something gonna have to happen. There's ramifications for all of this shit.
Right.
But it was a move, though. It was a bit, I don't say it was a power move, but it was definitely it was some power in the fact that it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it was you know, they always say business never personal, but that's not always true. And sometimes when shit get too personal, might have to halt the business. At least till we, you know, recalibrate. You know what I mean? So it kind of gonna make people at least have to reckon with the fallout, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
we're gonna see.
Yeah, we're gonna see. But I mean, you know, he got them dope man decisions to make.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I mean, see, when crack democratized the game, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was trying to be their own boss, you know? Everybody was mm-hmm. trying to, you know what I mean? It was hard to keep somebody under your thumb, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. anybody with a little bit of money could go get the pack and, you know, and start their own thing, go to another town and get busy.
Right, go so, indie.
Right, yeah. So... You know, all of the old school big timers had to deal with it, and they whole little crews ran off and hit the trafficking market. You know, each individual dealer got to deal with it with his crew. You seen it in the, you know what I'm saying? You could see it in the club, how one crew that used to be down, they was the whole crew. Now, they done split up a little bit, and this one that used to be the little man in the crew got his own crew now. They doing their thing. It's, you know... It is what it is. I mean, a lot of people will say Louie is ungrateful. Like, you know, she might not be as strategic as she need to be, but ungrateful, I wouldn't say that, because that's just how the game was. That's how the game still is, for real. You know?
Free market.
It's a free market. Everybody trying to get to it, you know? Yeah, Franklin built it. Yeah, he found out about the base. Yeah, but that word got out. You know what I'm saying? Now he ain't the only one with it. And that's why he wanted to go wholesale in the beginning. You know, because he understood that. He just didn't, he couldn't foresee what, you know, Louis was going to do. But, you know, he ain't want to, I guess he ain't had the latitude to make the numbers better, you know, because mm-hmm. Teddy wasn't letting up on him. Numbers is the same, right. You know. So
plug talk for middlemen.
Yeah, he's in between a rock and a hard place. But, you know, we'll see how he react. You know, I just feel bad for old Jerome. Jerome ain't want to be in none of this shit. He's just standing beside his lady. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now he got to be in at odds with his nephew. You know what I'm saying? His sister trying to throw him under the bus.
What she do? What you mean with the talking with the people?
Yeah, there's gonna be a wedding.
Know everybody under there.
My brother is getting married, and all the players are gonna be there.
Yeah. She definitely.
So
snitched him. Rat, yeah.
So you know, blast. The silver lining. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I didn't say nothing. Go ahead, keep going.
Nah, the silver lining and all this shit is, you know, Wanda is off the rock. Mm-hmm. Goddamn, Leon is trying to, you know, work his way back in, which is, mm-hmm. you know, which is his love like a motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because she don't even believe it. Like, you going, like, after all what I done been through, what the people going to say, you still? Yeah. Leon don't care.
Yeah. I like that. I like that, them scenes. It's very, it reminds me of Belly when Nas was sincere, mm-hmm. him and T-Boss, like, yo, let's go to Africa.
Let's go to Africa.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that whole shit. It's that vibe. Or even just, you know, like, Leon is woke now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, like, and I hate the woke has been co-opted by, you know, the right to make it real derogatory. But, you know, he's enlightened. He's definitely, mm-hmm. like, you know, he's definitely looking at things a lot differently. Just even the way he looks at his own community, like the whole, you know, I woke up, I was on my roof, had a drink. You know, you see him on the roof with the Henny bottle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like kind of taking it all in from the perch. You know, bird's eye view, looking at the thing. I was enjoying my day till I found out, you know, somebody done put a hit on Kane and he in the hospital and, mm-hmm. you know, I hit your line. And then, you know, he come through to Franklin's house and, you know, Franklin is unaffected and disconnected. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And he's, as you know, they trying to talk. He's telling them, you know, what you should do, you know, the whole shit. And Franklin ain't really trying to hear that. Franklin is business as usual. Mm-hmm. He like, yeah, I see what it is, but
yeah, what you want me to do,
yeah, come on, it's above me now. You know what I'm saying? And as he walking off, you know what I mean? He walking off. He see the nigga ain't even read the little Franz Fernandville book and shit. He ain't, you ain't even cracked the scrolls. I'm trying to hit you with the knowledge, nigga. This shit. So disappointed.
Let me take my money.
You know what I'm saying? Shit. Nigga, I'm trying to pull you up, brother. You know, one of them type of situations. So it's cool. And you see him, you know, Franklin, coming back for Wanda because there's love there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and trying to lift her up. I think there's a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of, you know, after devastating the community. Mm-hmm. Trying to uplift the community, you know what I mean? And he's starting with his close people first, whether it's Franklin and, you know, the crew and now Wanda, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's rise, but, you know, and everybody ain't on the same timeline.
Nah. But so, ironically, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It still feel like, again, ever since that situation where he had to come to Jerome to help him out in the projects, and they told him mm-hmm. how Fat Boy took care of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? And he looked out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then it's like he kind of been trying to feel like to me that he wants to be that type of cat in the hood. He wants to be like a Jerome. You know what I'm saying? Jerome lifted his lady up out the dust. You know what I'm saying? Jerome got respect in the hood. You know, he might not been on no Malcolm X shit, but in his way, he did what he could to make sure people was happy. You know what I mean? So I think Leon is, you know, after his, you know, after he done got the little girl kilt and, you know what I mean? And his, he got Fat Boy kilt and, you know, almost got himself locked up for life. He done had the epiphany, man. He trying to be a better dude. And, you know, he obviously is taking the opportunity to enjoy this life, man, like we talked about earlier. So you can appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, I'm glad they back to, you know, offering that humanity in these characters that they started with in the earlier seasons, you know, that they felt like they kind of got away from earlier in this season. So, you know, I enjoyed that. You know what I'm saying? Look like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was done. I was about to switch gears.
I was just going to say, I enjoy the Wanda Leon scenes way more than Teddy and Teron.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? We could have swapped that shit out. Like, yeah, come on now.
Because we got it. We invested in Wanda and Leon, man. Nobody don't know who this Teron lady is. Come through just, you know what I'm saying, playing with a cooch. Like, who the fuck is this? Why do we care? We don't. She just having fun at our people's expense.
Yeah. She made the whole shit about her.
Yeah, eventually.
But, you know. What were you saying? You was about to go to another situation.
Now I was saying, I wonder, you know, what's happening with Ivy. He got himself, you know what I'm saying? Ivy put up a good little fight to be old pops.
Yeah. He almost won that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, shit. I just be wondering where
all Ivy guns at. All them guns he got.
He should have had something on at least on his ankle.
Right.
He should have had a piece and at least a little knife too. Like, he been dealing with all these weapons. Yeah. He ain't got no weaponry on him.
He got no weaponry.
Come on now, that's caught lacking.
Like a mug. Yeah.
Oh wow. You know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with this cat. What else did you
What else was in this episode? Boom, boom. He walking off on the plug, boom. Had to deal with Louie.
The failed hit. The failed cop hit.
That's gonna be the shit right there. Mm-hmm. That's you know what I'm saying? That's what's gonna get Louie. Wherever she headed, this is gonna be the first step in that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whether she just becomes some type of kingpin or whether, you know what I'm saying, she gets some get back and retribution. But you know, between the police who tried to do it,
cokehead,
and his lost his job, who about to be tripped out here, and the nigga that's gonna be in the wheelchair, that's gonna be madder than Scully was at the end of the other season, on his failed hit.
Yeah.
You know, they was able to talk their way out of Scully hit, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to have to finish him off sooner than later, because he's definitely, as soon as he get back out there,
yeah,
he's going to have that revenge.
Yeah, he was mad before he even.
It's double revenge.
Yeah, he was mad when he got home.
You know what I mean? It's double revenge now. You know what I'm saying? Shit, yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, especially if he can't walk.
Yeah.
That's a different type of resentment when you just sitting there.
Yeah, and then, you know, your soldiers, you know, he gonna have them cats revved up.
Yeah. We gonna see. What else? I tell you one thing that I thought was pretty cool. I like that them playing It's Like That at the end, at the credits, especially after that fucking conversation with him and Teddy.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? And Yeah. Well, hell, you ain't fuck with it because
it was off. Hulu is fucking up at the end. They don't let you get to the credits. They cut the shit off before you get to the credits.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hulu be on some other shit. Hulu definitely on some other shit sometimes. Like you gotta, sometimes you gotta hit the dismiss button if you could do it. I'm trying to think if that's a Hulu thing, but yeah, sometimes, yeah, there's a lot of that. I don't know if it's like, just Hulu, but there's a lot of that where they bring like a whole box of some new shit to come on and.
Yeah, but yeah, Hulu got some type of glitch going on to where. Like, especially like when the show is like on the same day, when they trying to feed all them ads and shit.
Right.
So I had to stop one day watching that shit because it kept feeding back to the ad. It would never get past a certain point. It'd just go back to the ad and then start over.
Right.
Like, man, come on, man. They must be trying to run up their numbers or something. I don't know. But so I had to wait until the whole next day so it didn't have the ads in it. But yeah, Hulu clicked out before it got to the credits, so I don't know what they did.
Shit. Yeah, they played us like that. And then the other thing I wanted to say, the Run DMC is like that, and that shit just it hit, you know, just time wise, and then just the sentiment wise, it kind of hit. But then shout out Karina Evans, you know, who directed that. She's been directing a couple joints. And she's been kind of on the come up, you know. She's a young woman director from Toronto. She did the God's Plan video for Drake. She did the Nice for What video. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Came up kind of in the video scene and did a couple episodes of P-Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Snowfall shit. So it's good that they fucking with her. I thought this was one of the better episodes. So hopefully I got some hope for this finale. You know what I mean? We'll see how they end it off. You know, I'm not going to all the way say the shit is a wash, but this is definitely the weakest season that they've had. You know what I mean? And it's so disorienting because I'm just used to, you know, the level of quality of Snowfall being so, you know, top tier. And this shit here was a little bit of a glitch in the matrix, but hopefully they finish up strong. Yeah, that's all I got on it.
Yeah, that's all I got too. On it though.
You know. I wish you watched Winning Time, but cause it'd be interesting to
I'll be able to start Winning Time this weekend.
Okay.
I'll be a few little things that I'm trying to clear up and end up is slowly coming to an end. So
okay,
I should be able to have some freedom of mind to.
It's cool. It's a good show. It ain't my favorite, but there's some shit that I like, and it would be cool to chop it up. Well, you know, let's talk about Atlanta. Did you see Atlanta this week?
Of course.
Okay. What's your thoughts? What you think?
Now, let's see. This episode was... What was going on this episode? Oh, when they stole his phone.
Right.
Ah, man. It's funny, like, once you start watching it, and then you come to the realization... Oh shit, this whole episode about to be about this fucking phone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but you ain't even mad at it cuz they do it so masterfully, you know what I'm saying? They have you in it, you know what I'm saying? You in right there in it. You trying to get that phone back too. And you know, dude was playing with him like what's my man name who be doing all the interviews and shit?
Ooh, Vlad?
Nah. Like he kind of remind me of Gilford Garfield.
Oh, Nardwar?
Nardwar. Yeah. My man hit him with some Nardwar facts on the ass.
Say, yeah. What about your aunt Cheryl? What? How the fuck you know? Yeah.
My phone.
Right.
Fucking playing with me.
Right, got your phone number. Yeah, know your number by heart. Yeah,
but you know, so it's you know, it's a lot, but not a lot to say about it because it is what it is. I be just wanting to jump to, you know what I'm saying, how the fuck they let Sox in the crew? You know what I'm saying? Like, why the fuck Sox still here? You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm thinking. Like why? What is going on?
Like, how he get to still be here?
Right, right. Yeah, but I guess that's how it happens sometimes. Some motherfuckers just kind of, I won't say weasel their way in, but they finesse their way. And then next thing you know, you forget where, you know, how they got into the fold.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even like, know this thing. Yeah, oh, man, yeah, we met that nigga in Budapest.
Yeah, right, right. That's my man's from, you know. And it's crazy because, okay, so this is the thing about Atlanta that's great about it, or at least my own projection, right? Kind of how you said, you know, when you got to the point to where you were like, okay, so this is just going to be about a lost phone, huh? All right, well, shit. I'm, you know, I'm strapped in. I'm already here. You know what I'm saying? I'm along for the ride type shit. They're going to do their thing. It's going to be well-written, funny, well-acted, all of that. The thing with me in that, it also makes me be like, what's the symbolism here? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the, you know what I mean? What is this a metaphor for?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like one of Magic Eye posters. Like, okay, I'm looking at it, but I'm supposed to see a duck in this bitch. And I can't really, I still see a whole lot of static. But, so then I start trying to take it apart. Like, you know, the name of the episode was, I think, A Cancer Attack, mm-hmm. you know? And obviously, there's the Make-A-Wish kid who got cancer, you know what I'm saying? So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it made me think, Sox, it could be the cancer, you know what I mean, of the crew. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the way, like, now he's been kind of, he's been pulled in. Like, he's inside the inner circle, you know what I'm saying? And then at the very end of it all, we see this nigga had the phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And more so, at the end, he throw that shit in the garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just tossed the phone. Like, so he don't give a fuck one way or the other. He along for the ride. You know, he could have saved the day had he wanted to. I guess there's a certain part of him that enjoys the drama. You know what I mean? And maybe it gotten too far to where, you know, it would look crazy for him to be like, oh, yo, here's the phone. You know what I'm saying? Because then that might have aroused too much suspicion and then he'd have had to get, you know, he got booted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he just threw that shit out. There's that. That's one thing I thought about. The other thing I thought about was, back to the sock shit. The other thing, it made me immediately think about, you know, the old joke when they be like, it's like an old stock joke. People like, you know, crackhead steal from you and then fuck around and help you look for the shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that type of thing. That's what Sox is doing. He done, you know, he got the phone on him, but he is making a scene. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm be the white Liam Neeson in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? All of that wild shit.
Right.
So you like, oh, he going hard. He really, like, he know his spot is not all the way. He ain't a starter yet. He on the bench. He a sixth man, but he trying to stay on the team. You know what I'm saying? So you like, he's selling you like, no, I'm invested. I'm for the cause. Meanwhile, this motherfucker got the phone in his in his pocket.
He been doing that ally shit the whole time. But go ahead.
Aggressive ally. Like, yeah, you know. So there's that. But then the other thing was the other metaphor I'm thinking, like, the phone itself, is that a metaphor for, like, the comfort zone? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're so reliant on your phone in many ways. You know, like phones in general, it's kind of like you see it oftentimes when people like don't really want to make conversation or they feel like they at the end of their conversation. Motherfucker just put his head in their phone. You could be in the middle of a party, but they just, you know what I mean? They just retreat to the phone and just get lost in the phone. You know what I mean? Like, that also signifies to everybody else, okay, this person is out of the conversation. You know what I'm saying? They're not really trying to engage. They over here doing their thing. They locked into the phone. There's something more interesting on that screen. And more times than not, it ain't. It's just a bunch of mindless scrolling, but it becomes something that, you know, just is soothing on a certain level. It's like a pacifier, you know? But then it's also like when he was like, he confessed to the kid Wiley, he was like, dog, I haven't written anything in 7 months. You know, like I've been like, you know, I'm in the midst of all of what's going on, but I haven't been creatively inspired in 7 months. I ain't, you know, and then it's just this recently I came with some shit and I hummed the melody into my phone. And I, you know what I mean? I need my phone. And it's just like, what do you do when, you know, you're security blanket, or you're, you know, when you're forced to be uncomfortable, when you can't go back to your phone, you know what I mean? Now you got to kind of find your way without, you know, like even like when Earn said initially, it's just a phone, we'll get another phone. He was like, nah, it's more than just a phone. I got shit on there. I felt that shit because they was like, yo, you ain't got it on the cloud? Nah, you know, I don't fuck with the cloud. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know what I mean? I felt that shit, but I offload a lot of my shit like periodically just to make sure I got the shit. Mm-hmm. But just to like how disorienting that can be, you know, it's like if your apartment was to burn down, you know, you'll never be able to itemize everything that you lost.
Right.
You might, there's certain things that you remember like, damn, oh, right, fuck, that was in there. But there's no way that you're going to know every item that you lost. And certain items might not come to, you know, to your mind till months later, years later. Fuck, I lost that shit in the fire. Fuck, I lost that shit when I lost my phone. Whatever, whatever. But either way, you have to move on. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what you going to do? You know, like, you know, things are different. You're on a different level. You're moving. But if you want to sustain this momentum, you're gonna have to conjure some new creativity. You're gonna have to make some new songs. You're gonna have to, you know, and you can't be the old paper boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this Wiley kid is so in love with. You gotta be, you know, you are paper boy. The kid Wiley was like, yo, I know who you are, cause you know, I feel like we're the same motherfucker. You're like, fam, no, we not. You from Budapest. I'm from Atlanta. It's two different motherfuckers, but I'm glad that you resonate to the music like that. But, you know, you know what I mean? And that kind of speaks to sometimes how fans try to keep you in a box, you know. But anyway, it goes on and on and on and on. But that's kind of some of the shit that I was pulling from it.
At one point, it felt like, well, I mean, after you see what happened in the end, that Wiley was trying to give Earn a clue when he was saying, talking about, you know, people were trying hard to fit in and all that type of shit. He probably was talking about socks. Yeah. Earn thought he was talking about him.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting look too. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that Wiley shit was funny.
So you know, they leave you with a lot to chew on in that motherfucker.
Yeah. Then you still got the shit with Van. You know, she just on her own thing. You know what I mean? Hit him with the thumbs up. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Been going for 6 days. You good? Thumbs up after hours.
Right.
So you know. Yeah. That's,
well, at least you ain't curious to see how that's going. Fucking with the old boy.
Who, Darius?
Yeah.
Or yeah. So yeah. But it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen with that. I like how that's kind of like just lingering. You know what I mean? Hopefully it pay off more than this Peaches situation over there and so forth.
we might get Peaches. A Peaches reveal in the finale.
We might. I'm not putting no money on it. I don't know. But it would be interesting to see old Peaches show up out the blue. But yeah, man. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, they batting 100 over there. Whatever you call it in baseball numbers.
Yeah. One thing that I did see, observation that they brought to light. I never really thought about it, but you know, like managers are like the DJ, right? In the way, and also, who's the DJ Was it just a regular, they just had somebody, hired somebody to do the set? Because I figured somebody would be in the circle as the DJ.
Right.
But
DJing in the budget.
But I say managers are like the, huh?
DJing in the TV budget.
Right, 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 right. But, you know, it's, but I would figure that somebody, how did they address that? But what I was going to say is, like, it was funny when you seen when Paperboi hit the stage and then they got the shot on Earn, like, mouthing the lyrics, you know, Earn and Darius going crazy to it. But, you know, Earn just kind of mouthing the lyrics like, yep, song one. Okay, you're going to go to that, you're going to go to that. But, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes you can, I forget that, especially if it's like a real close-knit outfit, that the manager, you know, shit, they know everything front to back, just like the DJ know everything front to back, just like the rapper know everything front to back. So it was just like going along the plan. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of, yeah, that was just a kind of cool shot.
And I think you spoke to it the other week, but, you know, Earn is like really getting his manager on now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he full fledged. He too busy to even chit chat with these niggas now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how my man lost his phone. Fuck around. He wanted to have a conversation with Earn. Earn was too busy. Earn was like, man, I got shit to do.
Right. And he's like, he the managers that's like, he's feeling his power. Mm-hmm. Like I like when he was insistent, like, nah, well, call him in here. We need to see Wiley. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes cats would be like, ah, you know, it ain't no big thing. Nah, it's actually, and he, in a way that wasn't super combative.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that I will say. That's another thing that I appreciate about this shit, because I always think about, I don't like conflict. I'll have conflict if I need to, but it's like, one thing is, I'm always worried because it's very easy for shit to go from 0 to 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not careful, if you don't really, like, you know, like, you know, just handle it and stay cool. Don't, you know, like, don't flip. Like, I was very, I was impressed by, as frustrated, as upset as all of them were, they didn't really bug out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They were still aware of the fact of they out here in Budapest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you don't want to do nothing too, you know, you don't want to go too far over the edge because your ass will wind up in jail abroad or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but at the same time, they weren't cowering. You know what I'm saying? They weren't like, you know, just taking the L passively. They put up a fight. You know what I'm saying? They gave a thorough interrogation, you know, but shit, if the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. You know what I'm saying? Got to let the nigga walk with his guitar. You know what I mean? As bad as you are, your motherfucker might have your phone on him. You did everything short of fucking grabbing him by his ankles and flipping him upside down. You know what I mean? But, like, there's a line, though. There's that line, and there's something to be said about that. Like, there's back to restraint. There's a certain level of restraint that you need to toe, you know what I'm saying? And for the sake of professionalism, to keep the thing moving. Because you could throw this whole shit away in a moment of rage. And I thought that shit was, I thought that was illustrated pretty well.
Right.
Yeah.
No doubt. In the theme of calm restraint.
Right. Well,
shit.
Sun's about to go down, so I know it's time, you know what I mean? Yeah. Time to get to it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but, actually, I'm 3 minutes late. You reminded me.
Look at that. Oh, shit. Look, man. Shit, ain't no time but the present to tell everybody. Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out. Conversation.